section. Last week we had Brother Grover, a church planter, to Montana with us. But 2 weeks ago we started looking at this section here in chapter 3, verse 10 through verse 15. And as we looked at this, we started talking about a period of time known as the judgment seat of Christ. And as we looked at this thought of the judgment seat of Christ, we talked about who would be there. This is for the believer. The judgment seat of Christ is for the believer. And as we started to look at this and look at the events that unfold before us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was addressing the church at Corinth and letting them know, in light of the judgment seat of Christ, this is some things that ought to be done. And he says some of the things that you're doing is wood, hay, and stubble. He talked about some other things that would test, be able to go through the fire and be purified, the gold, the precious stones, in those things. And we took some time and we looked at some areas, specific areas that were looked there. He says it's going to be manifest. It's going to be shown. And as we looked at it shown, we looked at some specific areas in our lives. And are we doing wood, hay, and stubble, or are we doing gold and precious stones? Are we doing those things that are going to matter? Those things that are going to last? Those things that are going to further the cause of Christ? This morning, we're going to pick back up in these verses here. And the last time, we looked at a day of intimate discovery. We looked at that thought of, what are we doing? Does it really matter? Are we doing it the right way? And sometimes we look at our lives and we realize, hey, we've been just going through the motions of life, but we're not really doing it God's way. And some of the things we've done is nothing more than wood, hay, and stubble, the intimate discovery that's given there. And we're looking at that wonderful thought there of looking truly at ourselves. Looking at ourselves and getting a real glimpse of who we are, what we are, and what motivates us in our lives. And looking at ourselves, the real you, if you will. How many times have we had a fake view of ourselves? I tell you, there's a lot of times in my life and probably your lives that we've had a wrong view of ourselves because we don't notice everything that everyone else notices. How many, now I'm not trying to be disgusting or unkind this morning, but how many of you ever had something in this area of your face, your nose, that you didn't realize was there, and someone does this to you or does that to you? Or if you don't get that little clue, they'd say, tell you, right? How many, none of us ever had that, right? And we don't see that. But it's right in front of our nose, right? It's right in front of our nose. It's right there. It's right there. Yet we don't see it. We don't really see it and get a glimpse of it in our lives. And how true that is many times in our lives. We don't see it. And we go through this life thinking everything we're doing is great and wonderful and grand. But we're doing wood, hay, and stubble. The intimate discovery that's given there. And as we continue this, and as we see this intimate discovery, 1 Corinthians 3, read with me. I'm going to read verses 10 through verse 15, and we'll get into the second point of this message this morning. And it says this in verse number 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than this is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's works abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask as we just look at this portion of Scripture, that you would just speak to our hearts, I pray. Illuminate your Scriptures to us. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So it's a time of intimate discovery, but secondly, it's a day of intense delight. It's a day of intense delights. Look again with verse number 14. As if any man works abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, I just want to remind us this morning, this is talking to the believer. This is talking about the individual that is standing at the judgment seat of Christ. This is the believer. This is the individual. He just talked about the wood, hay, and stubble. He just talked about those things we talked about as a review in the beginning here. Now he says this. If your works make it through the fire, and there are these gold stones, these precious stones, you will receive a reward for those works. Now, the idea is this. We don't do works to become saved. We understand that. Works does not save an individual. But once we become saved, the Bible says we become a new creature. We have new desires, new goals, new things in life. And we ought to desire to do the work of the ministry and do what God has called us to do and to make sure everything that we're doing lines up with God in the way God wants us to do it. Now there's a day coming that we will receive and reward for what we do. Now, I understand the thought today, and I'm going to explain some things, because many times they say we shouldn't do things to get a reward. And that is our mindset, all right? And we have to have the right motives. But in this essence, we ought to be doing things to receive a reward. Because the rewards we get, and we're going to look at this as we get in, they're for a purpose. The rewards that's talking about here is not reward for ourselves. The rewards we're going to get are the rewards we're going to be able to take and cast them at the feet of Jesus. And this idea is we ought to be working for a reward. Now, I know that sounds totally different than what we've heard our whole lives. But this thought this morning, the message I want you to see is working for the reward we can give back to Jesus. Now, what type of rewards are going to be given? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. All right? So there's the incorruptible crown. Those in that day, many in the church of Corinth, were striving for an incorruptible crown. In that day, they had Olympic Games, very similar to our Olympic Games. And many of those individuals, they worked and they tried to earn that crown. Now, we have some individuals in here that go to different schools, and they're part of track teams, and they're part of cross-country teams, and they're part of that. And some individuals in here, you like to run and torture yourself. You like to do those things. And you go and you strive to win the reward. And I tell you, you train. You put all the work into this. You do everything you can. You lift the weights to build the proper muscles and the proper parts of your body that you need to be able to get the best score, the best time that you can possibly get. You learn to stretch right. You learn to use the blocks to be able to start right in your race. You learn how to use everything about what you're doing. And the goal is you want to finish so you can get the reward. Some of you in here have known people that have gone off to the Olympics. They've won different awards. There's a guy that Tanya knows, and she was friends with the family, and I know of him. He was at Maranatha Baptist University where we went to school. He actually won an Olympic gold medal and a silver medal for wrestling. And he won it, and he had it, and he would show, and you could see that. But that's great, that's wonderful. But what's going to happen to that stuff? What's going to happen to the awards? How many of you received a reward sometime when you were a kid? You got one of those trophies. Remember the big trophies that you used to get? Those plastic things? You know what I'm talking about. How many remember getting those? How many had a box of those that you don't know what happened to them and you never thought about them ever again after you got them and you moved out of the house and that, right? How many they got broken? How many got those bowling trophies? All right? And you had all those. Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. And you had all these awards. How many have gotten ones that you even hand around your neck? And no, not to, never mind, Rick. We'll be nice to you. And you've had that. But those are going to perish. Here, it talks about 1 Corinthians 9. It talks about an incorruptible crown that's not going to perish. What is this incorruptible crown? It's awarded for faithfulness to the Lord. You see, wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn. The gold, the precious stones is going to come forth. And then we're going to receive a crown. And this crown of the incorruptible is a crown of faithfulness that we can be able to get back to Jesus. This is the incorruptible crown. This is what matters. Do you know what matters in life? It's not getting a reward from man. What matters in life is that we're faithful to God. We ought to be faithful in our lives. This is this crown. This is what matters. This is what makes the difference is our faithfulness to God. Do you know many times in our lives, we put a lot of stock in priorities in doing things in this world. And we try to take care of ourselves. We try to take care of others. And we do all these things here. And it's great to love and help and encourage. But you know where we struggle the most? Is truly being faithful to God. Faithfulness. What is faithfulness? The Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, you labor not in vain. What is it saying is, what is faithfulness? Be steadfast. That word steadfast means that you are staunch in what you believe and you're sold out for what you believe and you're going to do everything you can to carry out God's work. You know what a faithful person is? It doesn't allow all the things in this world to distract them. You see, this crown, this incorruptible crown, is a crown of faithfulness. And it's given to those that have not allowed the distractions of life to get them off track. Now let's give the running event. If any of you run before, if you've done that before, what are you supposed to do? Even the Bible tells us in the New Testament we're supposed to fix our eyes on who? Jesus, right? We're supposed to be looking at the finish line. We're not to get distracted. How many of you have ever run before and you've gotten distracted by something before? And you start to look to the right, you start to look to the left, and then you start worrying about the person behind you. So you turn around and you look at the person behind you as they pass you because you turned around, right? And you get distracted. How many have ever been distracted before in life, general? You've gotten distracted. We've all gotten distracted. How many of you dozed off taking a test before and you went off into, you know, you're taking your test and you kind of just went into la-la land? All right, and you start taking that test and you don't know, you've gotten distracted. You start counting this, you start thinking about this, you start smelling the flowers. Many teachers don't like when it starts to get nice weather outside because kids start to get that little itch and they get a little unruly more than ever because they're ready to get out of there and they start to daydream and drift and get distracted. And that teachers also don't like when the first snow comes. Because they're sitting in the classroom teaching and giving all the information and the snow starts to come down and all the kids are looking at the snow and they're not paying attention. We get distracted. How many understand this idea? You're driving down the road and something catches your eye and you look at it and your whole car turns as you look at it. Some of you drive that way or your spouse drives that way or someone else you know drives that way. And the whole car turns because it sees. You get distracted of what you're doing. A faithful individual is not allowing the distractions of life. Not that we're perfect in it. Faithfulness is not perfection. Faithfulness is not perfection because none of us are going to be perfectly faithful every day of our lives. We have to understand that because I believe even within our circles and within our type of churches, many times we try to almost preach a perfection about us. And yes, we understand we need to be faithful. What does that look like? It means we don't allow the distractions, and then even when we get the distractions, that we get right with God and we get back on the road and keep going again. That's faithfulness. Because none of us in this room, myself included, is ever going to be perfect on this side of heaven. We're not going to be able to be exactly what we ought to be. But the idea is a faithful person is striving, is making the steps, is making the progress to live that life that is faithful in God's sight. And that's the one that's going to be rewarded. It means when I fail, I go to God and say, God, forgive me. God, I need you. God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. God, I need you to pick me up and get me going again. And God, I want to strive to be faithful in my life. And when I'm not faithful, Lord, forgive me in my life. That's the crown, the incorruptible crown. There's another crown that Scripture talks about. Go to James chapter 1 and verse number 12. James chapter 1 and verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This is the crown of life for the person who endures and overcomes temptation. This is another crown that we're able to give back at the feet of Jesus. This is a person that who overcomes temptation. Now let me tell you, there is temptation every corner you and I turn around. I tell you, this day and age, temptation is more visible, more accessible than it's ever been in our world. Let me tell you, they had temptation back when Brother Rich was a kid, all right? They did. But the temptation that we see today is not that it's worse temptation, it's more everywhere temptation. It's everywhere we turn. In Brother Rich's day, they had to go places to see things. And they had to go to places to be a part of things, to be tempted in that. But today, one of the greatest temptations around there, most everyone in this room carries with you. And let me tell you, this has been the demise of so many individuals in our world today. Because temptation is right there, right around us, everywhere we go, and we can do it in the secrets of ourselves. Temptation. So how do you overcome temptation? Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. You see, this idea of this crown that we're going to be able to give is this crown of overcoming temptation, and we need to flee from the devil. That means we need to resist the devil. That means we not give place to the devil. What did Jesus do when it was temptation is not a sin. It's when we give in to temptation, it's a sin. When Jesus was tempted, now Jesus could not sin. I understand the difference between Jesus and us. Do you know Jesus did not just not sin, but he could not sin. He was incapable of sinning. But temptation was still there. And what did Jesus do when temptation was gone? He quoted Scripture. And he gave Scripture. And when he gave Scripture, the devil fled. This is the idea. You and I can overcome temptation in our life. We don't have to give in to temptation. Just because it's right around us everywhere we go, just because we face it daily, just because we're weak sometimes and we see things that we shouldn't see and we're around things and hear things we shouldn't hear and all those things, we don't have to give in to it. But we need to be able to understand what we need to do. And what we need to do when that temptation comes is we need to push the devil back and say, devil, you ain't going to have no place in my life. Devil, I'm not going to give you a foothold in my life. I'm not going to give you any place. I'm going to resist you. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not giving you any place in my life. That's the idea in our lives. And we need to know Scripture. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against who? Him or God. I'm not to sin against him. I hide God's word in my heart. That I have God's word. That I'm able to use God's word And that is the weapon that I use when I start to struggle and my mind is not the way thinking the way it ought to think. There ought to be some scripture that comes to my mind that I can use. When I want to be a part of an activity that I know I shouldn't be a part of, there's some scripture that ought to come to my mind that I'm able to use. When I'm not going to love the way I ought to love, and I'm not going to do the things I ought to do, there ought to be scripture that works in my heart and my life that I can use to overcome that temptation. Now, let's understand this idea of overcoming temptation. Some of you have what is known as a sweet tooth. You like sugary, gooey type of treats. You like the ones that the caramel and the chocolate just kind of runs down. And oh man, you see that. And you're just ready to partake of that. But some of you know that it's not good for you because you struggle with maybe diabetes, maybe you struggle with some weight struggles, maybe you struggle with some other things, and you know that should not be your common daily occurrence of eating habits, all right? But if you see that, what's the best thing you do? Do you sit down by it and you start to smell it? And do you sit down by it and you take your finger and lick a little bit? Woohoo! Glory. Or do you say, please take that and get rid of it? I don't even want to see it. That's the idea. Is I see the temptation, but I'm not going to get as close to temptation as I can get to it. I'm not going to smell it. I'm not going to even taste it. I'm going to leave it over there, and I'm going to come far over here and say, please, remove that temptation from me. I don't want it by me. I've helped some people throughout the years with different habits and different struggles that they had in their lives. And I remember one person came to me, and they said they had a problem with the computer. And they said it's no matter what they did, they struggled with it. I said, get the computer out of your house. Get rid of it. Well, I need it for this. No, you don't. Get rid of it. You can go down to the library where everyone's there and use the computer for what you need it. You can go to someone else's house and use their computer if you need it. You can do something else. Get it out of your house. If you're trying to lose weight, what's the best thing to do? Not have any junk in your house, right? Because if the junk's in your house, what are you going to do? You're going to eat the junk. No matter what you do, you're going to eat it. No matter if you put it in the safe and you put a coat on it and you tell your wife, don't even give me that coat, what are you going to do? You're going to twist her arm until she gives you the coat so you can get the stuff that's in the safe. You look at me like I'm the only one that ever done anything like that. Come on, you're just as guilty. But we do things like that. But overcoming temptation, and who can give us a strength? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know who can give us the strength to overcome temptation? You can. I can't. We'll fail every time. But God can. And God will give us the strength that we need to be able to overcome that temptation, that we'll be able to have that crown to be able to give back at the feet of Jesus. There's another crown I want us to look at. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing are not even ye in the presence of Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? The crown of rejoicing, and if we had time, we could develop this. This is the crown of rejoicing over those that we have personally shared the gospel with. Now, let me say this. It is not just those that we have seen come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because you and I don't get anybody saved. It's not my responsibility to save anybody. It's my responsibility to share the gospel, is to sow the seed. And as I sow the seed, others water, and God give us the increase. It is God that saves the soul, but it's my responsibility. The crown of rejoicing is we rejoice when an individual comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ought to thank God, and we ought to use every opportunity that God has given us to share the gospel. The Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you know you and I have a responsibility to share the gospel on a daily, regular basis with those that do not know him as their Savior? I'm not to twist anybody's arm to get saved. I'm not to get them just to repeat a prayer to put a number on my books. I am to share the gospel, and I'm going to let them know that God loved them, that God died for them, that he rose the third day according to Scripture, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. And I'm to share that. I'm to let people know that. I'm going to see people that are hurting and tell them there's hope. And your hope's not in this world, but my hope is in Jesus Christ. And your hope is in Jesus Christ. He's the only hope that can transform and change your life. He's the only hope that can transform and change this world. Jesus is the hope of this world. And he can be your personal hope. That's what we're to do. This is the crown. You see, I look at it this way. God has made me a steward of not just my time, my talents, my treasures, but God has made me a steward of the gospel. He's entrusted the gospel to us after saving us to be wise stewards of the gospel, to take that gospel and let other people hear the truth of the Word of God. This is that crown of rejoicing. That's a faithfulness crown. But let's be truthful for a few moments. Many of us may not receive that crown. Not because we haven't won someone to the Lord. That's not what it is. We don't receive it because we haven't shared the gospel. Because it's not a priority to us. We get so caught up in all the things we're doing in life that when we walk by individuals and we go to different businesses, we go to different places, we don't even want to give a tract because, man, we're just too busy. We have too much going on. We need to be faithful in witnessing. We need to be faithful in taking tracts and sharing the gospel and letting them know. It is interesting. The other day, I was at one of your favorite places of all times, Walmart. Wally World, the evil place that you go and always spend more than you thought you were going to spend, and you always buy stuff that you think you're not going to buy, right? And they do it on purpose. They put it right at the end cap. So when you go through, you see that right there, and that's why I like online ordering and that, because you order what's on your list and you're done with it, and you don't have to see any of that. But I was going through that, and I was going through a line, and I gave an individual one of our church tracts. And I've never seen this individual before, but it was an older person. And they said they've been working in customer service related stuff for 40 years. And they said that was the first tract they've ever been given. I believe many of us have not taken the opportunities that God has given us to share the gospel. This is the crown of rejoicing over souls getting saved, lives getting changed. This is that crown, and we need to be a part of sharing that message with a lost and dying world. There is in this valley, this area, a lot of gospel preaching churches. Now I'm going to use that very carefully because I know there's a lot of churches that we're not lined up where we're at and everything with all dots of I's the same way and cross the T's the same way, but there is quite a few churches that preach Jesus is the only way of salvation. They preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. With that many in this area valley, There should not be one person in this valley that has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ if we're doing our part. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, everyone in this area should at least hear the gospel one time. Let's take this a little more personal. Many of us have family, an extended family, and blended family, and this kind of family, whatever we want to call it. And we know there's second cousins, third cousins, 25th cousins all around. But there's people in our family that have never heard the gospel. Wait, if we're doing our responsibility, if we're doing what God has called us to do, then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take the gospel and share the gospel. Yet there's individuals that we would claim as family that have never heard the message of Jesus Christ. Also, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse number 8. We see another crown given here. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. This will be given to those who anticipate and live in the light and return of Jesus Christ. Do you know? No man knows the hour. We don't. But you know Jesus is coming back. We don't know. We don't know when. We need to live in anticipation of Jesus coming back. He can come back at any moment, the Bible tells us. And when he comes back, we ought to be doing things as we're looking forward. Now, Paul thought that day was coming during his time. It didn't. But Paul was working and warring and doing things till Jesus Christ called him home. You know what we need to be doing? We don't know. It could be next week. It could be next month. It could be 40 years from now. It could be 100 years from now. We don't know. But as we're on this earth, we need to anticipate that he could come back tomorrow. And we need to be living with that in mind. What does that mean? It means my goal, my focus is serving and living for Jesus. Because when I leave this world, I want to hear, as we looked at last time, as we looked at this, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words. Do you know? We may not ever see physically that we're alive to see Jesus return. But you know what? We could die tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare anyone. And my life could come to end today. Some of you be rejoicing. No more pastor giving us a hard time. All right, praise the Lord. No more pastor picking on us, right, Rich? And we don't know. But I do know this. I need to live in anticipation, knowing he can come back, knowing my life can end, knowing that I need to redeem the time because the days are evil, and I need to use every moment that God has given me and live that he could come back and strive to please him and live for him. There's different crowns that we could be given. Those crowns would be given so we can cast those back at the feet of Jesus. It's not to boast ourselves up. It's not to make ourselves look good. It's not to do anything of those things. It's not to make the haystack and make it look great and wonderful. No, it's that we live for God and we're serving God and we have those to be able to give back to Jesus and thank God for giving us the power, the strength, and the ability to be able to do what we've done and say, Lord, we love you and thank you and cast them back at the feet of Jesus. Now look real quickly in verse 15. We see there will be a day of intimate discoveries, a day of intense delights, but it's a day of immense disappointments. Now, verse 15 tells us some things here that a lot of times we look at and we go, well, do we really want to focus on this? I don't know about you, I like to focus on the positive all the time. Yeah, I'll have some awards to give to Jesus. And it'd be great to give those awards to Jesus. And great, I might not have all the awards that someone else has, I might not have that, but I'll at least have some awards to give. But look at verse 15. And if any man's work shall be burned, that means the wood, hay, and stubble that's going to burn, he shall suffer loss. Now, he shall suffer loss, it means that the believer will lose the reward that he could have earned. Do you know every one of us has the ability to earn every reward to be able to cast at the feet of Jesus? But not every one of us are going to earn the reward, every reward, to give back at the feet of Jesus. So it's this idea. Now, I understand, you'll understand this. Do you know everyone in this room does not have the same smarts as everyone else has? All right, I'm just going to be honest. Some are naturally smarter than others. All right, many in your room, you're smarter than me. I'm just going to admit it, all right? Because you chose a great church and great path. I mean, but you're smarter than, some of you got that. But the smarts, I want you to think about it for a moment. The idea is this. God has given us everything we need to get every reward that we can possibly get to cast back at his feet. That means this idea. You can take a test. We have some teachers in here. And they would give a test, and every student could get 100% on that test. Because the teacher told them this ahead of time. Here's all the answers you need for the test. And gave those answers out to every student and said, study the questions, study the answers, and you'll be able to ace the test. Now, what would a wise steward do? As a student, do you would study every question, every answer, so when the test was given, you would what? Ace the test. Everyone has the same ability to get an A on the test. But what happens is they give the test, they give the study sheet, whatever they want to call it, and they give study questions with the same questions that are on the test with the answers, and they give them out. Some students don't fill it out. Some students don't study it. Some students take it and crumple it and put it in their backpack and forget about it to the end of the school year when they clean out the backpack and they found the bananas and the peels and everything else in there and pull out and go, oh yeah, I remember she gave this to us. I never did anything with it. And they take the test and they don't ace the test. They get all different grades on that test. They all had the same ability to get the same grade, but they didn't. Do you know every believer has the same ability to receive the rewards, to be able to cast at Jesus' feet? But some of us are going to be at a loss because we did not do what we should have done. And the things we've done are going to burn. And we're not going to have those rewards to give back at the feet of Jesus. You and I have the ability to do it. Because God has given us all the answers. God has given us all the help. God has given us all the strength. We can't do it ourselves, but he's given everything we need to be able to get those crowns, to be able to get back at the feet of Jesus. We've given the answer sheet. We've been given everything we need, and we have it right there for us. We need to study it. We need to know it. We need to live it. We need to do it. So we receive those crowns, and we're able to give those back to Jesus. But there's going to be a loss for some. Because those things that we've done, we've had the wrong motives, we've had the wrong actions, we haven't done the things, and those are going to burn. You know, we need to refocus in our life. We need to start doing things that are going to matter for Christ, not matter for ourselves. I'm just as guilty as everyone in this room. There's a lot of times, yes, we strive, we try, but we all fail. We all fail in our lives. And we need to understand this thought is we need to ask God for his help, his strength, even when we fail, to get back, get going, so there's not a loss, so I have the rewards to give back at the feet of Jesus. Now look at that last verse that we just read. It talks about the loss of rewards, but there's a phrase there at the end of that verse that we must look at. And it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Again, who is this talking to? The church of Corinth is talking to believers. It says this judgment seat is not a judgment seat of salvation. This is a judgment seat of our works or how we're living for God here on this earth and what we're going to have to give back to Jesus. It says this, you may not have done everything that you should have done, but you're not going to lose your salvation because your salvation is not based upon you. Your salvation is going to go through the fire and be solid because if our salvation is wood, hay, and stubble, that means man's religion, that's going to burn. But he says salvation that he's talking about, the salvation he's talking about in Scripture is the gold and the precious stones and things. It's going to go through fire because this is not talking about the loss of work. This is talking about the loss of works, not the loss of salvation. Because salvation is not found in us. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says no man, ourselves included, can pluck us out of the hand of God. God has given us eternal life, everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. We cannot lose what God has given us. This verse says there's some loss, but your life is saved. As we look through this, and we look at this looking at the real us, we stand before God at this judgment seat. We need to make sure we're living right, doing right, because the purpose is not to build up treasures here on this earth, but to build up treasures in heaven so I can take those and give them back to Jesus. Do you know we can thank God today, though, on this earth? A lot of times we say we'll wait to heaven to give them back and to thank him. There's some things we ought to be doing today to give back to Jesus and thank him. Let's thank the Lord for all he's given us. And let's ask for his help, his strength, to be victorious here on this earth and be able to have those rewards to give back to the feet of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this portion of Scripture. And Lord, help it to be a reminder to our lives.